Hello, and welcome to the December 2007 issue of Gospel Gazette, edited by Lewis Rushmore of Winona, Mississippi. Thanks as well for choosing to listen to this brief audio segment of A Word Between Friends, brought to you by your friends at Gospel Gazette Online. Before we move on to discuss another matter in our mini-series of Purposes for Jesus Coming into Our World, let's spend a few more moments together thinking about the topic we began in last month's feature, a salient point which should be of universal interest, how that Jesus came to destroy our mutual enemy called death. As we consider the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Christ personally commissioned his chosen apostles to preach throughout the entire world, may we note in passing that the term gospel means good news. It is a message of glad tidings with God as its source. You may realize that God has purposed that the gospel of the kingdom is to be preached unto every accountable living person under heaven. You see, God wants every one of us to know of the provisions he has made for you and me to be delivered from our dual problems of sin and death. In the language of an old Christian hymn, he calls upon you and me to trust and obey. To trust and obey him so that we may be happy in Jesus and experience the greatest quality of life possible, both now and in the world to come. During the years of the first century AD, when Christianity began, all the divinely appointed apostles preached an identical message. The result was that with a uniform message revealed by the Holy Spirit, there would be no confusion or division among believers concerning the doctrine of Christ. There was no distinction in doctrine based upon location and who had taught there previously. Upon his arrival in Corinth a few short years prior, Paul had preached the same message the Apostle Peter had preached to the Jews and proselytes on the first Pentecost following the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. You may consult with Acts chapter 2, which tells of the unfolding of those events. The unstoppable, beating heart of the gospel of heaven brings focus on three simple truths Paul had declared to the Corinthians. Not only there in that city, but throughout Palestine, all over Asia, Macedonia, and Achaia. These three truths are noted in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For the sake of continuity, let's begin our reading with verse 1. Where the Apostle Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that, number one, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And secondly, that he was buried, and that, number three, he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Christianity towers well above the world religions and human philosophies established by mortal men due to the truthfulness, the faithful witness God has given concerning his Son, and the overwhelming power God employed to deliver his only begotten Son from the grasp of Hades. God, in his desire to silence the mouths of both present and future unbelievers, had his Son, Jesus of Nazareth, to make a number of post-resurrection appearances. Paul writes about these appearances and the large number of individuals who served as witnesses to its vital truth in this same 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. However, as a Christian evangelist and apostle of the Lord Jesus, Paul was highly disturbed to learn of a no-resurrection doctrine taking shape in the city of Corinth. Unlike so many of our generation who have accepted the notion that it doesn't make any difference what a person believes, Paul knew differently. It does matter what an individual believes. For instance, it makes a difference what an individual believes about the resurrection. Paul wrote to his co-evangelist, Timothy, saying the faith of some had been overthrown due to the teaching of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who advocated the resurrection was past already, 2 Timothy 2:16-18. Paul would not sit silently while the leaven of false teaching completed its pernicious work among the saints. The apostle challenged them, in light of what they knew and had experienced, to consider how unreasonable it was to adopt a no-resurrection belief. In 1 Corinthians 15:12, Paul asked pointedly, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" In the next few verses, he calls upon his brethren to reflect upon the grievous implications that would necessarily follow if the no-resurrection theme were actually true. He writes, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" There is no concrete indication that the Corinthians meant to deny the actual resurrection of our Savior. The next verse, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Jesus the Christ is glorious, and Christianity has a genuine appeal to us because therein God has given us the otherwise indeterminable solution to our universal problem of sin and death. If we can be of spiritual assistance to you, please contact us at www.gospelgazette.com. Until next time, may God continue to bless you in your personal study of His Word.